efforts in your life. This morning, the Apostle Paul was human like the rest of us, and he had faced many trials in his ministry and in his life, but he also revealed to us an interchange he had with the Lord about a particular trial, and from it we can learn so much this morning. So notice verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So we're going to focus this morning on a thorn. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you use your word in our hearts and lives this morning. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here around our Savior and around your word, and pray that now the Holy Spirit would take it and speak to every heart in a personal way. Lord, we all want to grow. We all want to be faithful to you. And we pray now as we open our hearts to hear from you, Lord, that we would leave changed and saying, truly, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you and commit this time to you. Meet with us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to take our time and walk through this passage this morning, but there is so much to learn from this passage about trials, about the thorns that will come into our lives. And the first thing I want to emphasize this morning is that there will always be thorns. That's where it has to start. You know, we have a lot of Christians out there that have this misconception that once you become a Christian, life will just be wonderful, no more trials, you'll be rich, you'll be healthy. And it sounds really good. The problem is it's just not true. The opposite is true. God uses thorns in our lives, and we'll talk about that. But according to Scripture, there will always be thorns. Now, whether they're constant from the day we're saved until the day we go to heaven, I don't know. But there will always be some thorns in your life. And that's important to recognize this morning. And I want to show you some Scriptures. Go to John 16, if you would, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Where Jesus was talking to his disciples there in the upper room just before he went to the garden and to the cross. And he was encouraging them, but he was also being straight up with what they were going to face. Notice here in John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Look at this next phrase. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." So even before he went to heaven, he warned his disciples, you're going to have tribulation in the world. Another passage, Philippians 1:29, if you would please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, where Paul is encouraging the Philippian church. But he's also, again, being straight up with them about the Christian life and the involvement of trials in the Christian life. Notice Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So he's saying to these Christians, yes, it's God's will that you believe on Jesus Christ. It's God's will for everyone that they believe on Jesus Christ. But he says it's also God's will that you're going to suffer for God's sake. Just as much that we suffer. Now the Bible tells us, Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Many. And then Acts 14:22, if you turn there please. The apostles are encouraging new believers here in Acts chapter 14. And I want you to see one of the ways that they are encouraging them. They're also, again, being straight up with them about what's going to happen in their Christian lives. Notice Acts 14:22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith." Now, that's all good. Amen. We're all on board with that. Confirming them, exhorting them. That's what these baby Christians needed. But look what it says. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, we're encouraging. Yes, we're confirming the disciples, but we're also being honest with them and saying that they are going to face much tribulation. This is a theme of Scripture all through. But I want to show you in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, if you would turn there, please. The Apostle Paul is recounting in his Christian life all the suffering that he had been through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Look what he said. We'll start in verse... Well, we could go all the way up to 20. We'll start at verse 24 just to get it all. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You see that word daily? You think Paul suffered a bit? Now, Paul was unique, of course, in that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the one that God gave a huge portion of the New Testament to. He revealed the body of Christ, the church, to the church. But Paul was unique also in that when God called him to be an apostle, he said that he will through much tribulation. He told him in advance, Paul, your life is going to be full of suffering. Now, why would God do that? Why would God choose a man that's going to literally change the world? Literally, to have to go through so much suffering. And even here in 2 Corinthians 12, it's Paul that's saying to God, Lord, please remove the thorn. And so what I want us to capture first, before we talk about anything else this morning, is if you're a Christian, there's going to be thorns. And they're going to be all different forms. You know, Paul listed some down there in verse 10 of our passage. He said, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. That's a pretty good list. You know, as we've been studying through the book of Job on Sunday nights, we found that most suffering falls into the four main areas that we pray for people. Either it comes through physical suffering, health issues, financial suffering. You see that all the time. People lose their jobs, suffering because of family, maybe your parents or your children, and then your friends and your ministry. It usually comes into one of those four forms. The point is, there's always going to be thorns. And accepting that is important. Because if our attitude is, there shouldn't be thorns, then we're already starting off with the wrong understanding of God's plan. We're already starting off with the wrong understanding of Christianity. There will be thorns. And that's number one this morning, is there will be thorns in our Christian life almost consistently. But number two, look at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The second thing is that thorns have a purpose. That God doesn't just give them in our life so that we can suffer. God gives them for a purpose. And again, this is important for us as Christians to accept, that if there's a thorn in my life, the first question I need to ask isn't why, or Lord, please take it away, as we'll see. The first question I need to ask is what is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to teach me? What is the purpose of this thorn? They all have a purpose. Paul said one of the purposes in his own life was to keep him humble. Now think about that. And that's what he said. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be lifted up too high, lest I should people should brag about me too much, or I should brag about myself. God gave me this thorn. We often forget that Paul was human like the rest of us. And Paul was special. There's no question about it. Do you think the devil ever tempted Paul about that specialness? You think the devil ever whispered in his ear and said, "You know, Paul, you are the apostle to the Gentiles. There's only one in the history of mankind, and it's you. You're pretty amazing, Paul. I can just hear the devil now." Not audibly, but just putting those thoughts in his head. And Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, God gave me a thorn." You know, David, when he went through many of his trials, he said in Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." He said, I was going down a wrong path, but God brought these afflictions to bring me back. And so one of the purposes of our trials is to keep us humble. And that's not the only purpose, but it's one of them. Another one in verse 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Another one is to keep us reliant upon the grace of God as we go through our Christian lives. Let's face it, we are selfish, we are self-centered, and we are often tempted to be self-sufficient. It's in our nature, is it not? But God wants us to be dependent on His grace. When we're told to come to the throne of God, what does it say? It says that we should come boldly under the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That one of the reasons we're to come to God's throne is to find grace. One of the ways that we learn to be more sufficient on God's grace is when we are suffering. If every time that we asked God for something, He immediately gave it to us, do you think we might take God for granted? You know we would, because that's just the way we are. We need to learn to to depend on God's grace. Drink, please. Something's snuck in there. James 4:6, please. Well, that'll help. Thank you. I'll get it. Thanks. What does he say here in James chapter 4, verse 6? He giveth how much? More. More than what? Anything. Amen? More than your suffering, more than your pain, He always gives more grace. So God gives us trials, number one, to keep us humble, but number two, to keep us reliant on His grace. Number three, look at verse 9 as well. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Whose strength does God want us to use when we go forward and serve the Lord? Ours or His? His. We're told that over and over in Scripture. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can do all things through myself. Is that what it says? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Isaiah 12:2 says, Jehovah is my strength. The bottom line is, if we didn't have trials, we would rely on ourselves. And God knows that. God made us, and He knows us in our fallen nature, and He wants us to rely on His strength. Often it takes a trial to get us to that point. So the trials are to humble us, to keep us reliant on His grace, to keep us working in His strength and not our own, but also verse 9, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We all want the power of God in our lives. But let's face it, we tend to go in our own power. Thank you, sweetheart. Go to Philippians 3:10, if you would, where the Apostle Paul also acknowledged this in his own life. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says that I may know him. Amen. That's something we all want, to know God better. And the power of his resurrection. That's something we all want. We want the power of God. But then look at the next phrase. And the fellowship of his sufferings. We want the power, but we don't want the sufferings. You can't have one without the other. So two things so far in this passage. First of all, there will be thorns. That is a given. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We don't know what form they're going to take. God has the universe at his disposal. Amen? But he knows what we need and when we need it. Number two, the thorns have a purpose. They're to keep us humble. They're to keep us reliant on his grace, to keep us working in his strength, and that his power may rest upon us. But number three, and this is the most important, look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. This is really the key, and that is we choose how to respond to the suffering. The suffering is a given. It's going to happen. The thorns are going to come. The fact that God has a purpose in the sufferings, that's a given. God is our loving Heavenly Father. God will always do what's best for us. And if he brings something into our life, he has a purpose in it. But how we choose to respond, that's up to us, isn't it? And Paul responded the same way we usually respond, did he not? Lord, please take it away. Take this suffering away. Take this thorn out of my life. I'm sure he was thinking, here you've called me to be the greatest missionary outside of Christ that ever lived. You called me to be the only apostle of the Gentiles. You called me to be the greatest church planter in the history of mankind. If you'll get rid of this thorn, I can do a better job. It's slowing me down. It's hindering me. So please take it away. And how often is that our initial response when the thorns come? Take it away. Maybe instead of constantly asking God to take them away, we should be asking him why it's there. And as we'll see, even thanking him for it. But how we respond is up to us. It's really all about our perspective. We can kick against the pricks and say that our circumstances aren't fair. Or we can say, God makes no mistakes. Amen? You know, David, if you go to Psalm 13, even David was human, believe it or not. He might have been a man after God's own heart, but he was human. And David, like Paul, went through a lot of suffering in his life, most of it prior to becoming king of Israel, when he was being chased by Saul and hiding in caves and so forth. And during that time here in Psalm 13, look what he said, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. What's David saying? Lord, how long is this going to last? I'm ready for it to be over. How often do we do that? Verse 5, but I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He finally realized, I need to stop asking God to take it away. And I need to serve God in the trial and essentially thank him for it. So how do we respond? That's up to us. And the proper response is not to say, Lord, take it away. God brought it for a reason. And how long it's going to be there, guess what? That's not up to us. That's up to God. And so God is essentially teaching Paul a lesson here, is he not? Paul says, Lord, take this away. He asked him three times. God said, I'm not going to do it. My grace is sufficient, which we've talked about. My strength is made perfect in weakness, which we've talked about. But look at verse 9 at the end of the verse. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. This is how God wants us to respond to thorns, and this is how our flesh doesn't want to respond to thorns. But this is having a God perspective on the thorns. I want to show you a couple of scriptures. Look at Psalm 119:75. And so how does God want us to respond, number one, to glory in them? How in the world can we glory in an infirmity? Think about it. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Lord, I know you did this because it was for my good, because you are faithful. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Is our first response to a thorn to rejoice? Typically, no. 1 Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. But now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. So Paul was being taught a lesson, and so were we. There's going to be thorns. That's a given. The thorns are good for us. They're to teach us. They're to humble us. They're to make us rely on the grace of God. They're to teach us to walk in God's strength and not our own strength. But how we choose to respond is up to us. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Do you see what that verse is saying? When that thorn comes, when that fiery trial comes, don't say, oh, a trial. Don't say, oh, it's a strange thing. It shouldn't have happened. What's he say? But what? Rejoice. Rejoice inasmuch as you partakers of Christ's suffering. So we can choose to say, oh, this is a surprise, and it shouldn't have happened, and it's strange, and surely God made a mistake. Or we can say, no, God has a purpose in this. Thank you, Lord. It's all about perspective, isn't it? So we are to glory in it, as we see there, but also look at the verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. So God wants us to glory in it, and God wants us to accept it. Accept it as His will. And that really is the key. How we choose to respond. We don't know how long our Christian life is going to be. But if God gives us a thorn, it's because He's trying to teach us something. That's the bottom line. He's trying to work in our lives to make us dependent on Him, to humble us, whatever it might be. But He's brought it for a purpose. If we choose to respond by getting angry, by blaming God, by saying it was a mistake, you know what we're saying? God, you're just going to have to bring me another one because I didn't learn it that time. That's how it works. He's got a plan. He's trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, and He's going to make it happen. And we can make it hard, or we can make it harder. It's up to us. So accept it. Now think about Job and all that he went through. I'm sure that no one in this room could say that I've suffered as much as Job. Losing all your children on one day. Losing all of your living in one day. Then losing your health in one day. And then you get to sit and listen to your supposed friends day upon day say that it was all your fault and your children deserve to die. Anyway, in Job 23:10, he said, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now that's the right perspective to have on trials. Look at Psalm 119 again, this time verse 71. And this is the key to the whole thing. We are going to have the thorns. They're going to come in different forms. They're going to be there off and on for the rest of our lives. God has a purpose in them, but how we choose to respond is up to us. Psalm 119:71, David said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." How about that? Now that's a right perspective. It's a good for me that I've been afflicted. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Turn there if you would, please. I just want to make sure we get this last point that we need to accept it. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Look at that word, worketh. It's saying that the affliction actually is accomplishing something. It's working in our lives. And then James 1:3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." There's that word worketh again. And then my favorite, 1 Peter 5:10. And that'll be the last one we look up. 1 Peter 5:10. "But the God of all grace hath called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Look at that. Perfect, establish, strengthen, settle. That's all the things God's trying to do in our lives. But how's he going to do it? "After that ye have suffered a while." We're going to have thorns. It might be health. It might be finances. It might be family. It might be friends. It might be attacks from others. And an infinite number of other things. But we are going to have thorns. And God always has a purpose in them. He doesn't just randomly decide, "I love my child so much, I just want to enjoy watching him suffer." That's not the God that we serve, is it? No. He loves us. And he's only good to us. And so if he brings it into our life, he brings it for a purpose. And that might be to humble us. It might be to make us more sufficient on his grace. It might be to teach us to walk in his strength and not on our own strength. Or that his power may rest upon us. Or many other things. But the whole point of the passage is, Paul went from asking God to remove it to accepting it and glorying in it and saying, "I need this," and thanking the Lord for it. And we need to learn to have that right perspective, to glory in it and to accept it, as he says here. "For when I'm weak, then I am strong." Do we need to be kept weak by the Lord? Yes. Because God knows what we're made of, a bunch of dirt. And we're just trouble, aren't we? So there will be a thorn in your life, probably pretty consistently of different forms, but how you choose to respond to that thorn is up to you. You can grow through it and learn and praise God for it, or you can complain and ask God to remove it, but it's going to keep coming either way. And you can grow the way he wants you to, or you can make the process take longer. But God's not going to say, "Okay, fine, I'll just stop giving you thorns." It doesn't work like that. He's just going to keep sending them because he knows we need them. And we need to stop and say, "What's its purpose? Lord, what are you trying to teach me?" Not, "Lord, please take it away immediately," but, "What are you trying to teach me? Help me to learn it. Thank you for it. And I accept it as your will." It's all about perspective. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There will always be a thorn. Let's pray.